we'll have this AGI when this kind of system, robot, can go into the kitchen where this is like a new place for the system and can make a coffee. Artificial intelligence is based on data, and we teach those systems how to act based on examples that we provide to the models. 80% of managers actually feel the push of implementing AI urgently in their organizations.
Hello, my name is Maciej. I'm the leader of Analytics Experience Competency Group at CNF, and this is CNF Talks, a place where experts and professionals discuss ideas, challenges, and observations from the perspective of an IT vendor. My guest today is Marcin. Hello, Marcin.
Hello, Maciej.
Marcin is the head of AI Competency Group at CNF. And today's topic is one of my favorites. I've been waiting for this topic quite a bit, and we'll be talking about implementation of AI in different industries. So
a topic that everyone is talking about currently.
This is the hype nowadays, yes. And when we were at Gartner's conference, Data Analytics Summit in March in Orlando, about 90% of all topics discussed during this conference was about...
Related with AI.
AI or related to AI, yes. or generative AI. So everybody was talking and is talking about AI nowadays. And there are a lot of expressions and names and abbreviations, and I don't really understand them all, frankly speaking. But I remember that you've been writing an article about AI lingo.
Yes.
Is that correct?
So there is an article published on our website where I actually try to explain in simple words number of terms related with artificial intelligence for managers to better navigate within this area of technology and to better understand what to expect and discuss with technical teams. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me, because, you know, I think everybody tends to know, or they think they know what AI is, but I'm pretty sure that this is just something that we think the AI is. And so can you explain what AI is, like, you know, for dummies?
Mm-hmm. So this might be a little bit tricky question, actually, at the beginning. So there is like a very simple definition of artificial intelligence, which says that artificial intelligence system is a kind of a system that behaves in a way that we would expect intelligence from it, similar to intelligence as possessed by humans. And this definition is very simple. However, it is not very sharp as at the same time, and not precisely define what artificial intelligence is. We can go into, let's say, finer details. And when I was working on my PhD, I even went for psychology books and tried to understand the intelligence itself. What is intelligence, and especially in humans? Psychologists, they don't have like a single definition as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can generalize all those, let's say, research and definitions that there is in psychology to some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
The first aspect is the aspect of learning. So we can say that intelligent creature is a creature that can learn based on some input, on some data, on some things that it perceives. The second aspect is adaptability to environment, and especially to changes in the environment. And if you want to transfer those things into the field of AI systems, then we can say that artificial intelligence systems are those that can actually be trained and can learn from data, from the examples of behaviors that we provide to this kind of system. And based on those examples, the system learns how to behave, how to act. And also this system, artificial intelligence system, is a one that can adapt to changes in the environment that it operates in. So those two aspects, I would say, that are most important ones to differentiate from AI systems from a regular software. So regular software is a software where we define exactly step by step how it should behave. Artificial intelligence systems are the systems where we are not explicitly implementing the behavior, but instead we are implementing kind of an algorithm that can learn from the examples that we provide to the system. So instead of explicitly saying how to behave, we provide examples how to behave. And based on those examples, systems learns how exactly it should behave, how to make decisions, how to make actions.
Okay, so we might say that by this definition, ChatGPT is AI.
Yes, ChatGPT is an example of AI system. So the system that actually was trained on a vast amount of text data. So the examples of natural language, how it is used in conversations, in articles, in just communication between people, and based on those examples, on those text data, system learns how to respond to user questions.
Okay. You know, everybody's scared that AI will take over our planet, like Skynet did in the Terminator, right? Because there is something like a Turing test made by a mathematician.
Yes. Yes. So actually, I would say that ChatGPT as a system, or the current, let's say, generation of large language models, actually pass Turing test. So the Turing test is a kind of a test to say whether or not we already have this artificial intelligence or not. And it was defined by Alan Turing. The test itself is based on a principle that we have a human sitting in a room and communicating with different kind of agent. And if this human cannot differentiate that he or she is talking with a computer, the artificial system, or real human, then we can say that we have the actual artificial intelligence. And by multiple, let's say, by all means, we can say that ChatGPT actually passes the Turing test as it was defined.
Okay, so the future is here. I'm a bit scared now.
Now we have another test, I would say.
There is a new test.
There's a new test, and that was defined by Steve Wozniak from Apple.
Really? Okay.
Yes, because right now we are in an era where we are talking about narrow artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence systems that can do very simple and, let's say, narrowly defined tasks. But we are targeting to something that is called artificial general intelligence. Mm-hmm. So a system, kind of a system that can do multiple things. And a test that was defined by Steve Wozniak is that we'll have this AGI when this kind of system, robot, can go into the kitchen where this is like a new place for the system and can make a coffee.
Okay.
So knows how to orient in the kitchen, how to find a, let's say, coffee machine and so on, and put all the ingredients to make a coffee. That's the definition.
So we have a lot of new fun toys right now to play with.
Exactly.
From your perspective, because you are very operational with our clients, and you know, you see and observe how they are implementing AI, or they are willing to implement AI. So what is the state of AI implementation right now with our clients?
Right now, so artificial intelligence is not very new. So the history of artificial intelligence is actually dated back to 50s, and we had like a multiple waves of interest of artificial intelligence and something that we called artificial intelligence winter. Right now, we are living in the era of, I would say, third wave of interest that is actually that started in somewhere around 2012 from the revolution in computer vision. And of course, the last 2 years is the new era of large language models. So the systems that can actually communicate with a human using a natural language and can do different things for us based on a language.
So this is the chatbot era.
So this is the chatbot era, exactly. However, this is actually a third generation of a chatbot, because there were like previous generations of chatbot. Okay. But this one brings new capabilities of generating responses. The previous generations of chatbot could understand, for example, the question from user, extract some intents, but the actual responses of the chatbot were predefined by developer. Right now, model itself can generate the answer to question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the state, especially with LLMs and generative AI, we are at the moment when we already know capabilities of those kind of systems. Multiple POCs were implemented. Within last 2 years by companies. So they understand capabilities, they understand strengths, and they have like a vision or kind of a vision how to use it in real life business. And we are at the moment when companies will start building like a longer term visions of how to utilize, especially generative AI, and implement them in day-to-day operations of those companies.
Okay. And what kind of challenges do you see right now? Because I've heard that our clients are, maybe not quite worried, but fed up with building those multiple POCs, searching for different use cases, testing, hypotheses. They want to see the bigger picture to start generating value from AI.
All right, challenges. So when we are talking with our customers, we hear multiple things. Companies did a lot of POCs for last 2 years of implementing Gen AI systems to learn their capabilities, to learn how they can use them in operations. But managers are right now feeling a lot of push for implementing AI in the operations of the companies. And according to some research, 80% of managers actually feels the urgency of using AI systems in their company. And they don't want to do another POC. They don't want to, do another test, another evaluation. They want to have like a broader view of and vision what they would like to achieve, what would be the business goal of implementing the AI systems, and how the company will actually get business value out of the AI systems. So they want to move from the POC era to actually implementing production systems that are generating business value, that are optimizing the efficiency of the business processes, enhancing the products that those companies offer for their customers, or basically lower the cost of operation of companies.
Okay. So what I hear is that that our clients seek for value of the, or return of the investment. Like they want to implement AI as quickly as possible, but they need to see what is the balance between the cost of implementation and the value they will that this AI will bring to the table. So what are the benefits of implementing AI in companies?
So we hear from our customers, and this is actually the phrase that I heard, and it actually really precisely defines what happened in the last 2 years, that there were like a proliferation of chatbots. So for the last 2 years, a lot of managers and business stakeholders actually perceived AI as just implementing a chatbot. But the chatbot is just one example of the AI system that can be used in the company. And the capabilities of providing business values are much broader. So the first business value is by providing additional information. So, and those information can be used for making better decisions, data-driven decisions. So instead of thinking about, for example, how to plan a production schedule for the next week in my manufacturing site, I can ask a model, predictive model, to provide me estimations of demand. Then based on that, organize a supply chain of raw materials. And based on that, also plan manufacturing plans. So this is the first example of providing business value. The second one is automation. And this is something that is being, let's say, on the rise. We are starting discussing about AI agents built around LLM models, AI agents like systems that can act on a certain and do a certain task for us. And those automations can be used in a business process. So when we have like a business process defined, then we can take a look at our business process and identify any kind of bottlenecks or optimization opportunities and see how AI models, AI systems can actually automate the tasks that we are doing within those business processes. The third way to provide business value, to bring business value to the company, is by transforming the business process and transforming even the business model. So this is also the most complicated way to bring value. So once we already have like optimized and automated business processes, then we think how we can actually use new technology to change the way we operate, to reshape the business processes that we have in the company, to make them smaller, more efficient, more cost effective. Or we can even think about new business models that can emerge from the capabilities of the new technology.
Okay, so these are the use cases that you see, or group of use cases. So from my field, I also seen some use cases of implementing AI to BI solutions to identify patterns or generate insights, or implement Gen AI solutions to enable users to talk to the data instead of just to digest what is visually seen on the screen. But it's not so straightforward to generate use cases to find out how AI can help in my case. So how to identify those use cases? Being a manager who is imposed to implement AI because this is the pressure that company generates, that we need to implement AI in every division of the company because this is the hype. We need to have this value. So how to generate those use cases? How to identify where we can implement it?
So there are two ways that those use cases can be defined. The first way is from the technology. So we know the technology, we know what the capabilities of different kind of AI models, different kind of AI algorithms, how to use them. And based on those capabilities, then we take a look at the business and think how those capabilities can be used to optimize like a business process or to automate certain tasks and so on and so on. The second approach is from the business side. So we take a look at the business process. We identify some bottlenecks or challenges that we face within certain business process or area of our business. We also observe some opportunities, for example, from market research. What are our customers looking for? What additional value they are looking for? And if we'll provide this value, we'll get additional competitive advantage over our competition. And based on those opportunities and bottlenecks from business processes, then we can brainstorm of how AI can actually address those identified insights. And the use case, the good use case, is where from those technology point of view and from the business point of view are meet together. So In the situation where we have mapped capabilities of AI, let's say technology in general, and we mapped our challenges or bottlenecks in the business processes or business opportunities that we can provide to our customers, and we address them with capabilities of AI. And based on that, we have good candidates of good use cases. We need to evaluate them So the next step would be to evaluate the actual economic value.
No,
so,
exactly. Yes. This is what I wanted to ask. You need to see whether the cost covers the actual benefit from it.
Exactly. Exactly. To implement certain use case, we need to do some, you know, implementation. We need to train models, or we need to utilize already trained models, so the foundation models. But for example, inference also costs. So we'll need to evaluate whether the productivity gains or additional revenue will actually cover the cost of running and building and running this use case. So if we see that there's like a positive value, this is a good candidate for the use case. There are some additional factors that need to be taken into account. Like, for example, if you want to train a model on our own data, do we have those data? If the data are in a good, let's say, quality, because if we have like biased data or let's say very poor quality data, the resulting model will also, let's say, provide a poor quality of responses.
But by the way, Marcin has prepared a very interesting white paper about generating use cases for AI implementations. We can find the link to the document in the description of the episode. About the availability of data to learn from, there are cases, I remember that you have mentioned one of the examples of our client, that you have generated some use cases, you have evaluated those use cases that will bring value to the company, but there you had to do some pre-work to be able to implement this use cases. This use case, particular use case, what the example was?
So, as we said at the beginning, artificial intelligence is based on data, and we teach those systems how to act based on examples that we provide to the model. So, and those examples are the, you know, the actual data that we have. And the example that you are referring is the example where we actually identified opportunities, identified some use cases that will be beneficial for the company to implement. But then we needed to build a roadmap. So put a priorities and based on that, build a roadmap when to build certain use cases. And some use cases, especially those that will utilize the company data, were pushed a little bit back in time because the company needs to first build a data platform to collect high quality data, to have some history of data. And based on this history, then we can train models that will be then implemented in the production. And a good example of such situation is, for example, building predictive maintenance solutions for manufacturing sites. So in general, those kind of systems are trained of history of data, of failures, of services that were provided to the manufacturing machinery. And based on the history of failures, of how machinery works in also regular conditions, the model is trained to predict what is the probability of failure, for example, within 2 weeks, 1 month, and so on. And based on that, we can then organize and optimize the service schedule for the machines in the manufacturing. But the feasibility of this use case is mostly based on availability of data before building such a model.
Okay,
so we need to have the history first.
So we know the value, we know how to implement it, we know what we need to have in order to implement it. So, but what are the traps? What are the risks of implementing AI?
So, when we are talking about risks or challenges related with AI, I would actually put those challenges into two different buckets.
Mm-hmm.
The first bucket are challenges perceived from by managers. So some kind of a challenges from the business perspective. The second bucket is a technology related challenges and risks. So this first one, this business perspective, are according to research, 44% of managers ranks as the most important challenge is data privacy and security. in AI systems. So they are, let's say, afraid that that data could be compromised or even used by different companies to train another mm-hmm. models. And those data are, let's say, company-owned data. The second challenge is related with AI reliability and accuracy of the responses. 36% of managers also point to this challenge as one of the top one. And 34% of managers also point to skills that they have in their employees, in their teams. And because this technology actually evolves very rapidly, gaining new skills and learning and adapting to how to use new tools is also a challenge for let's say non-technical teams, and sometimes even for technical mm-hmm. teams as well. So this is this first bucket. The second bucket related with technology itself is the top, let's say, challenge is data itself. So do we have right data? Do we have enough amount of data to train a model? Because we need a lot of data to train models. Do we have non-biased data? So the data that actually represent equally different aspects or different, let's say, categories equally that then will be used by model to, for example, to make a decisions. So all, let's say, challenges related with the data. The second challenge is related with cost of training models mm-hmm. and also costs related with running models. So, and the second one is especially important for generative AI models. So if we want just to have like a very narrow group of users that uses kind of a generative AI based chatbot, then the cost of inference is maybe not very high for our use case.
Because this is the cost of each prompt.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But if you want to make some kind of a, for example, chatbot available for millions of users, then the costs are actually
very high.
Very high. So we also need to have this in mind. And the third one, I would say the explainability of models. And this is especially important here in Europe, where we have like AI Act that makes some rules that in certain cases where decisions that are made by system can impact on individual lives, the decisions need to be explainable. So in those situations, we rather tend to use, let's say, simple approaches, simple algorithms that can be trained, but can be explained why certain decision was made, instead of building like a big neural networks that are more accurate even than those simpler models, but explain the decision why certain decision was made by the network is really difficult.
There are just too many parameters that are taken into account, so human brain can't comprehend how the decision has been made, what kind of parameter has been taken into account, right?
Yes, you can think of neural networks as black boxes, so kind of a models that were trained and they made decisions in inside. But from the end user perspective, you don't exactly know what factors actually were used to make a final decision by the model, and to explain exactly why and what was used for the decision making. That's a really challenging.
Like a credit score, for
instance. Yes, like a credit score, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So this is quite complex. I would say the plateau of different solutions is quite large, and I can imagine that there are a lot of managers and companies and big companies where this the hype of AI and the pressure of implementing AI is very, very big, and they need to do something with the AI. They have budgets for that, even though budgets for classic projects are being cut down. They do have new budgets for implementing AI. So
Generative AI.
So being a manager like that, I'm kind of confused and a bit lost on how to start off with a project like that. So What is your advice? What are the high level steps that I need to take to start this kind of implementation?
Mm-hmm. And that's actually good. And this is what we can also observe in market research, that more than 80% of managers are actually feel the push of implementing AI urgently in their organizations. So the steps that we would take, as we discussed earlier, would be first identify some opportunities, business opportunities, and identify any kind of bottlenecks. If you want to optimize, for example, your internal business processes, then you map those business processes and identify bottlenecks in those processes. If you want to find opportunities within your products that you're serving, then actually there's like market research needed for asking actual customers what gains, what they are looking for. The second step would be to ideate how technical capabilities, how capabilities provided by AI models can actually address those identified opportunities or bottlenecks in business processes. Based on that, we'll then have definition of different use cases. The third step would be then to evaluate each use case, whether or not it is feasible and whether or not it actually brings a business value for the company. So the feasibility is mostly based on the availability of data. So something that we also discussed, that if we want to train our own model and use our own company data, whether or not we have those data, whether or not they are high quality data that we can use to build an AI system. And the business value, so the actual economic value of the use case, is based on the evaluation of what kind of gains we'll get from the use case, and what will be the cost of building and running, for example, for 5 years such a solution. Maybe 5 years is a long horizon, maybe 3 years, because this technology is actually evolving very fast. But basically, from this equation, we want to get that we'll expecting the positive value. So the gains that we are expecting are higher, or even much higher, than the cost of building and running such a solution.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much. This is it for today. Be sure to check out the white paper that Marcin has prepared. And thanks for being here.
Thank you, Maciek. It was nice talking to you.
I see you in the next episode. Cheers.